Devendra Banhart is our guest on the Cafe today. He's here with his band doing some songs from the new album Smokey Rolls Down Thunder Canyon. Devendra is the poster boy for the media-created freak folk music genre and seems to fit the bill, growing up in Venezuela and being named by an Indian spiritual teacher that his parents followed. We'll talk in a bit, but here is a performance of So Long, Old Bean from Devendra Banhart.
Well, these days I'm spread so thin, it's like I'm getting carried up by the wind. Every time you get high, you might see me floating by. Well, so long, old bean, it's been a dream being with you, I couldn't tell us apart. Oh, and I know that neither could you. Well, don't tread on me when you float downstream on a moonbeam.
So long, old bean. So long, old bean.
Well, here comes the mapping whitey singing, always the pockets emptier still, and there probably won't be an end to them, my friend. And now that my trial lies at dating little ships of the Hollywood bowl, they mute up my mind. How kind of them to mellow my soul. Well, they're the gambling kind of smooth as a possess on the door. Money never beats soul. How new. Well, don't forget me when you float downstream on the moonbeam.
So long, oh, so
So Long, Old Bean, beginning our set today from Devendra Banhart. And one of the things about this album is you have, obviously, once again, have more songs in Spanish. I heard you were going to do a whole Spanish album that was going to come out in other territories or something.
No. Nasty rumors, you know. People are always saying nasty, nasty things about you. Well, we were going to do a record out in Brazil, actually, with some of our friends. But our friends from Brazil ended up coming up to Topanga. Notably, Rodrigo Amaranchi from this band. It's an incredible band that's been around for years called Los Hermanos. They actually had a hit in their first record that called Ana Julia that George Harrison ended up covering. It was a major hit, you know, and they've been around for about 12 years. And he took a little break and came up and stayed with us the whole time and helped me translate one of the songs into Portuguese, sings and plays guitar all over the record. He's essentially a new member in the band, as well as Pete Newsom. But we didn't go down to Brazil. Ardo Lindsay and, you know, Gaetano and other friends, we were going to do stuff with them, but I think we're going to keep that. We're going to do that some other time, probably on a this tiny island we found called Hibiscus Island. I think we're going to go try to do it there because there's a studio down there. And I like the ring of it, you know.
That sounds fabulous. It was the one they worked on, the samba?
Oh, no, it was Rosa.
Ah, Rosa.
The kind of this gothic tango tune, I would say. Although it's sort of yoga feeling. I imagine a lot of kind of middle-aged women doing Bikram to it. That's or using the ball, that big ball they sell at Whole Foods they do yoga with. I see that song as the soundtrack for that session.
Well, the samba, though, the reason why I was confused about that, because I think the samba's in Spanish.
That's right.
Yeah, which was kind of unusual. Is it... I guess it.
You're right. Most sambas are in Portuguese. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. But there's also a lot of sambas that are in English. You know, Luis Bonfa. Even Frank Sinatra sang a samba. You know, so there's a lot of. It doesn't matter what language the samba's in. The idea was doing a tune that would be pre or post Carnaval, and the funny thing is that we recorded the whole thing. And then it felt it needed something to give it a authentic sort of... it's meant to be played live, you know, when you're talking about Carnaval. So our friend Chris Robinson, who from the Black Crowes, who lives about five houses down from us, was just hanging out at the house. And since the house was the studio, while we were doing the playback, he just started plucking away at this charango, which is the indigenous Chilean, Argentinian, and Peruvian instrument made out of an armadillo's shell. And he started playing away, and we all looked at each other. Noah pressed record, and it's that improvised first take that gives it this sense of place and time, and makes it feel more. It's completely spontaneous, his part, you know, which gave the song something.
But that seems to be really important on everything you do about getting that spontaneity of either whether it's first takes or the first time some kind of inspiration comes in and keeping that. Do songs, when you work on them too much, lose something? Or
I don't know. The more you work on them, the more you discover. You know, the more... Sometimes you have to deconstruct a little bit. Sometimes you find that you've added too much, and it becomes a process of reduction. And, you know, I think recording and writing and all that, it's just a process of distilling, you know, trying to get to an essence of things. And sometimes the more you add to it, the more distilled it becomes. But often, you know, the less is more kind of thing.
Well, we're going to have to subtract Chris because he's not here. So to this one. So
who's Chris?
Chris Robinson.
Oh yeah,
gone already.
La bandera de
Alemania
tiene tres ampollas mansas llenas de florigrama en sus pies. Mariana Auschka Brunner, Rudolf Steiner, mira cómo va a enseñar la bandera de California tiene 10 piernas rotas llenas de tiernas gotas que salen al revés. Y a nosotros nos gusta así. Múdate aquí, amor, múdate pa' aquí, amor. La bandera de así la que se ve desde la Medina es posada y divina pa' mi corazón, cora, 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 pa' mi corazón, cora, 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 cora. Y aunque la gente es pobre, saben vivir feliz.
Samba Vexillográfica from the Samba School of Devendra Banhart. And which language did you learn first, Spanish or English?
I learned English first, but the second I learned English, the second I understood what the big people were saying, the tall people, I moved to Caracas. And so I thought, oh man, I didn't know what an airplane was or there other countries. I mean, I was pretty dumb. And I just thought I'd unlearned it all over again. Suddenly, I don't understand what they're saying again. So I had this weird period where it all clicked and I understood what everyone was saying to me. And then it was all gone because it was maybe a month later we moved to Caracas and my whole family lives there. And eventually, I remember the moment very clearly when this woman named Maria was speaking her gibberish, trying to communicate with me. It was just like hearing blah, 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 and then suddenly going blah, 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 how are you? Are you hungry? La la la. Suddenly everything just clicked and it was this really incredible experience. But I kept speaking English with at school. So you could say English was first, but I feel like they were both kind of, I had to kind of learn English, so I feel like they're both equal and how subpar I am at both languages, or if there's the lower domains of mediocrity, I that's where I live.
How long did you live there in Caracas?
Till I was 13.
Oh,
so
was it pretty rough? I've heard some descriptions of it. It seems like it's not easy.
Well, I was there during the coup. There during the Chavez's coup. You know, I saw him on TV with two masked men holding machine guns. But we all participated in the protests against Carlos Andrés Pérez, who was a totally corrupt president. But Venezuela has a long line of corrupt presidents. And it's a very rich country, and it has the possibility of being a wealthy place and not such a poverty-stricken place, but it's that duality of existence is present even physically because it's sort of like a valley and you're surrounded on one side by the untouched, beautiful, tropical, fecundant Avila Mountains, and on the other side it's all shanties, ranchos. So that kind of exemplifies what it's like to live there. Economically, someone there that would be upper middle class would be completely pretty much poor in America. So, and it was dangerous. I mean, there's parts of town that are really dangerous. And last time I was there, I was in a certain part of town that by 8 o'clock, I was the only person walking around. I mean, it's dangerous. It probably, the guy that wanted to mug me wouldn't go out at 8 o'clock, So it's sort of a trip.
So what music did you listen to on the radio? Cumbias and
all it is cumbia, merengue, and salsa. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the three kind of indigenous popular mainstream sounds that are blasting from the radio mostly. Mm-hmm. There's also, there's American stations and all that stuff too. And the first time I heard Nirvana was in a cab in Caracas and thinking, oh my God, this is so raw. And hearing that today, it's just so crazy because it's pretty slick actually.
But now when you moved from there and started doing music, you kind of had to relearn that didn't totally enter your musical playing consciousness at that point, did it?
No, actually, I sort of rediscovered something that I'd grown up with from traveling around a lot and then eventually settling in California. A friend of mine who I've known for almost 10 years, Matea Baim, who actually recently put out a record that's probably my favorite record in the last 15 years, a record called The Death of the Sun on Di Cristina, which is actually the same label that Vashti Bunyan and that Vetiver are on. But she gave me a CD of this Venezuelan cat that she'd heard on the radio named Simon Diaz. And I grew up seeing Simon Diaz. I mean, he's on cereal boxes and stuff, and he's on commercials. He has his own TV show. He's very, very famous, and he's known as Tio Simon, Uncle Simon. That's how the kids and everybody knows him. He's a legend, you know. But I had never really heard his music, you know. And a lot of artists, you know, you listen to their older stuff, their first records, that's what you really like. And in the 80s, they kind of lose it. Simon's, you know, been steady and strong throughout, stuck to his indigenous tradition, always sung about the beauty of the land, the indigenous people, pre-colonial things. And I've always been really impressed by how subversive, you know, his music has been. Because whereas people like Caetano and Jorge Ben, Atahualpa Yupanqui, they all get exiled for being political. Victor Jara from Chile gets murdered. Simon has managed to stay completely, you know, a fixture and he's managed to stay alive and still writes these incredibly political songs just by singing songs from the perspective of the people, the indigenous people.
I'm kind of surprised that nobody shuts that down.
No. Yeah. I mean, there is something really interesting that's kind of happening right now in Caracas or in Venezuela. And that's this whole rule that all music played on the radio has to have a certain percentage of Venezuelan, you know, sound or indigenous instrument, a cuatro, which is the Venezuelan instrument. It's like a ukulele kind of four-stringed thing. But this is a very strange kind of, I don't know, like this sort of totalitarian way of promoting, you know, your own roots. But my generation didn't grow up. I think it was very abstract, and it was just a concept to remember your roots and remember the old, because it was something that was just said to us and just didn't mean anything. It wasn't until I moved here that I started researching revolutionary singer-songwriters of South America and South American indigenous music.
So if that were here, would it be like every song has to have a banjo in it? Or I mean,
it'd be something. Wouldn't that be a trip? It'd be it's totally awful, but at least it's some way of you know, reminding people that there's an incredible lexicon of music that's gone on in the past.
Devander Banhart is our guest, and where should we go next? What do you want to play next?
Let's do Carmencita.
Pero devuelve, coño, la.
Carmencita from Devendra Banhart is playing live with us today. If you, Devendra, if you didn't do this, would you be work on your visual art, or what would you do if you ever thought about?
The visual art is a big thing, you know, for me. I mean, I think of it simultaneously as completely separate, and then completely utterly entwined with mm-hmm. the music. I suppose that's just because the seed of creation comes, I think, formless, and it's up to us to dress it in the appropriate attire, you know. So, I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd definitely be, if I wasn't making, I'm not making any bread doing this, but just enough, I guess, to be on tour, and these cats are definitely not making any bread, and I'd probably be working at a cafe or bagging groceries, which is what I've done my whole life until I began doing this constantly.
And now you got to move out of your place to somewhere else. You seem incredibly nomadic. It just seems like
It's not by choice. I'm not. It's not. I actually really like where I really like where I live. I really loved living there, but we had a couple incidents with some people we didn't know that just weren't cool, you know. We've had a lot of nice people show up, too. It isn't that it's like I hate that strangers show up. I love it. It's great. And I was at one point in my life without a home, and so anybody that let me crash on their couch, I mean, I was so grateful to them. And I think that's why I keep the door open now. But we had a couple things that weren't cool occur, so we have to split. But I don't feel like I'm saying right now that I don't have this nomadic itch, but I know the minute, I mean, in 5 minutes, if I stand still, I want to move. Which is, I don't know, it's a bummer.
Devendra Banhart. Our thanks to Devendra for playing live for us today. The album recorded in his Topanga Canyon home is called Smokey Rolls Down Thunder Canyon. We've got music from The Hold Steady. It's their cover of a Bob Dylan song from the soundtrack to the new film I'm Not There, and it's next. We get back here to the World Cafe.